This week, the Working Tools podcast is on the road at the Conference of Grandmasters of North America, being held right here in Seattle, Washington. So our format's a little different. We're going to have a series of short interviews with the attendees. We hope you enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, brethren all, welcome to the Working Tools podcast, a casual conversation around Freemasonry. First, it's important to note that our thoughts and opinions are our own and do not reflect those of our Grand Lodge or respective craft or concordant bodies. Please connect with us and ask questions via our website at theworkingtoolspodcast.com.
So on day three of the Conference of Grandmasters here in Seattle, we have the opportunity to interview a brother from New Jersey. Sir, would you introduce yourself?
Omar Morris, Senior Grand Warden of the Grand Lodge of New Jersey.
That's a pleasure to have you. We were talking just before we started that I'm originally from New Jersey. My mom's from the town in which his mother lodge is situated, so it's a small world, I guess.
The beautiful city of Bayonne, New Jersey.
So is this your first time at the Conference of Grandmasters, or have you been before?
This is actually my fourth time to Conference of Grandmasters. In New Jersey, as a part of the Grand Lodge of New Jersey, you come to this conference with the Grand Master as Grand Marshal. So, and in New Jersey, we serve as Grand Marshal for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So, two of the years, I get to support the Grand Masters and the contingent that comes with them. And then, when I became Junior Grand Warden, I came for the first year as a member, and then this is my second year as Senior Grand Warden.
Excellent.
Is that a natural progression that the Grand Marshal is kind of the heir apparent for Junior Grand Warden, or is that just happen?
So it's, but a good many past Grand Masters have been Grand Marshal because it's a 4-year term. So you travel the state with the Grand Master. Our Grand Marshal is a little more involved than most jurisdictions. We are known for our announcing, very similar to in Washington, D.C., where the dignitaries come in and someone stands at the door and announces them. We have to announce from memory any current grand staff and any past grand staff, no matter how far back they were a Grand Lodge member, we have to do it by memory. So for my reception, I had about 265 current and past Grand Lodge officers, and I had to announce every single one of them by memory, and I also did their wives, named their wives. So we're known for that in New Jersey, so it's a little more involved. But because of that, you travel the state, people get to know you, it becomes a little easier to then run for Junior Grand Warden. So a good many of the past Grand Masters have been Grand Marshal. We're a progressive line from Junior Grand Warden, and then it's pretty much an election every year, but it's a gentleman's agreement for the most part, 4 years.
And do you have just the three positions, or do you have a deputy Grand Master?
We have a deputy Grand Master.
Okay. Yeah. And is it a single year?
1 year. 1 year. 1 year term.
It's interesting. We had some that have been on that are 2 years in their term, and so that would be a long journey.
Yeah, it's an 8-year term.
Baja, California, I guess. It was Honduras, where they were saying that they had, it's a 2-year term, and they can be reelected for a second 2-year term, and most of them are, apparently. So then you're talking,
so it's almost 16 years.
Exactly.
Oh, no,
so
no thank you.
It wasn't progressive. But they could be elected as junior, direct, and then out, and then senior and out. And so it was, assumed progression.
Right.
Yeah, it was interesting. Just interesting. Every jurisdiction is different. Every household is different, I guess, and every family is different.
And the challenge with that is, in New Jersey, we have a leadership conference for all sitting officers, and we consider this like our leadership conference. And you get to meet the leaders of the other jurisdictions. The challenge becomes, as Junior Grand Warden, it's not apples to apples with other jurisdictions. So you could be the Junior Grand Warden, but it doesn't mean that we're going to serve as Grand Masters together. So a lot of times you have to come several years to be able to find who your counterpart is going to be,
So back to the conference, is there something, this being your fourth one, is there something particular that stands out to you that you've learned from these conferences or that you've taken back to New Jersey?
I think one of the biggest things, the vendors that are here, a lot of the tools, a lot of the systems and structures, we've been able to pull. You know, we had a really big issue with our data tracking, our member tracking, and then Grandview has become kind of a godsend for us. So that, some of the other systems, as well as, you know, there are a couple of workshops that we, there was a couple of mentoring workshops. We've pulled a lot. And we also have to be able to tell the brothers why this is important. So every time we come back, we share with the brothers what we've learned so that they see the value in us coming. Otherwise, you know, members have no idea why we're coming here each year.
And yeah, I will say, as a lodge secretary also, that yeah, Grandview has been great. When I started, we were doing things on paper and scanning them and emailing them in, and just having all that stuff on Grandview has been terrific. So it's.
But also the sharing of best practices. You know, we have an issue. We come here, you sit at table, and you ask, how are you dealing with this? How are you dealing with this? One of the things, I just walked from the Grandview table. Some lodges don't have the capacity to track all of their NPD members. So members they haven't been able to get in contact with. So it came up at a breakfast, someone said, well, I wish there was a button in Grandview that somebody said lost contact. And then now we can do a search of all the members we lost contact, and everyone can jump in to try to help that lodge. So I went over to Grandview and said, hey, is this possible? And they go, it's possible. You know, here are some ideas. And out of that usually comes some amazing systems. So that's what's good about this conference also. Tracking down members that we've lost contact with. They said, oh, speak to California. They have a system that searches for people. So now I'm going to go and talk to California. You don't get that if you're working in a silo in your own jurisdiction.
I agree. Is just out of my own idle curiosity, about how many Masons are in New Jersey? Do you know?
So that's a good question. We're about 11,000 members.
Oh, wow.
And that has been steadily going down. But this past year, and out of COVID, I think people are now starting to look for things to get involved in. So we've had a record-breaking number of members starting to join now. So we're expecting for that number to kind of level out. What happened to us a couple of years ago was we looked at the data and we saw that we were so top-heavy with older members, so the losses of brothers was really high. But that is starting to peter out as well. So we're at the point where we believe we're going to start to see this rise now, because the amount of people passing away, unfortunately, should be going down, and the amount of members that you're bringing in. The only factor that hurts that is the NPDs, right? You can work on the amount of people you bring in and the amount of people that you know, pass. That's natural. But how can we control the amount of people that leave? If we can do that in a better way, we could stabilize the losses.
Exactly. Yeah, keeping those members engaged and giving them a reason to come out on a Tuesday night and go to lodge. That's a big part of it.
Well, there's a little more to that. We created this year. I created a program called the Leveled Program, or Level ED, where we basically, as the junior grand warden, you know, when I was worshipful master of my lodge, I had never seen the grand master sat and talk to him. He was a person that I knew about and saw, but I never had a real interaction with him. And we realized that a lot of our worshipful masters don't. So what we started with this leveled ED program, where now as senior grand warden, I'm meeting with all of the junior wardens every month, virtually for most of the time, and then three times a year we're going to meet in person. And it's, how do we backfill some of the information that they don't have, the confidence in them feeling that they could go to the East. How do we start to make them feel comfortable, build a relationship so it's no longer that us versus them mentality, so that more of them succeed and go to the East? And also, they know the Grand Master. They're comfortable with the Grand Master, so that if there's an issue, it's not, I'm coming down on you. You know that I'm coming from a good place because you know me. And we're hoping that that will increase the amount of people that go to the East and decrease the amount that step out because they don't feel comfortable.
I love that idea.
Yeah, and even better, they might ask for help before it gets to the point where
exactly. But also hearing that other people are struggling with the same things. The challenge became is that people are becoming worshipful masters in most jurisdictions within 4 years. back in the days, you used to have to sit in every chair. So you felt ready. You had a lot of, but now in 4 years, you're not feeling qualified or ready. And then on top of that, if you're not ready as a worshipful master, how are you going to be a good past master to support the incoming worshipful masters if you weren't ready? So the fraternity has never done what it needed to do to correct that issue, or not correct it, but to find solutions for it. So we're hoping this is a solution for it.
We're going to steal that.
Take it.
That's what this conference is for.
Yeah, we can get more people doing it, because if you can turn around and make them, you know, okay, let's go over bylaws, constitution and bylaws. Let's go over protocol. You know, what are the issues you're having? Here are solutions. If you do that, rather than doing nothing, they should feel better prepared than they would have if you didn't do it. So it's a start. It's not the silver bullet, but it's a start.
Awesome. You're here. And if I can take this interview on a quick left turn, I see on your name badge it says that you are a trustee of the Masonic Charity Foundation of New Jersey. What's that?
So in New Jersey, we have a Masonic Villages senior care facility.
Oh.
So each elected line officer is, by virtue of their position, a member of that board, but we also have elected members who take care of and manage the business of the senior care facility.
Oh, interesting. All right. Yeah. We used to have a facility here, but we sold it a few years ago. So it was I think actually David was on the committee that dealt with that. And I think he still has scars from it. If you talk about it, he starts to twitch. But
on both sides, I was a trustee on our, we call it Washington Masonic Services now. It was Washington Masonic Charities when it was first stood up. And yeah, I was part of the real estate side of the transition, as well as the trustee side of the development of the upstanding of that charity program. And it's really a wonderful, even though it's a transition from physical to more in person and remote touch, but it's still a wonderful program. They still reach out and help manage. There's caseworkers that handle a caseload of people. It's not, while it is focused on Freemasons and their families and widows and whatnot, it's also open to the community. It's a public charity, and so it'll help anybody that's needed.
I think that's a challenge with all the brick and mortar places is, they were mainly created back when we were expecting to have a lot of Masons and their families in them, you know, but we've transitioned, a lot of facilities have transitioned from that.
Yeah. It became so expensive, that was our issue with Medicaid and whatnot. It was just, we're not in the medical business, and so,
sometimes you just have to change with the times.
But once you open it up to Medicaid or Medicare, you can no longer say this is for just our members. Right. You have to, now this restricted, you have to, you can't restrict it. It has to be open now to everyone.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Right Worshipful Sir, thank you very much for taking out the time of the conference to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks so much. Have a good day.
Yeah, we'll be in contact. Thank you.
Thank you.
So today is day three of the Conference of Grandmasters here in Seattle, and we have had a bit of a technical difficulty yesterday when we were interviewing Most Worshipful Brother Bill Berman from Masonic Renewal Committee, and so he has graciously agreed to come back, and we thank you, sir, for coming back and talking about the Masonic Renewal Committee.
Well, good morning, Matt. Good morning, David. Happy to be here.
So if you don't mind starting at the beginning again, what is the Masonic Renewal Committee?
Masonic Renewal Committee is one of the five committees that have been authorized by the Conference of Grandmasters of North America. We were incorporated in 1988, and our mission is to grow Freemasonry and retain the members that we have.
I remember yesterday we spoke about, this is weird doing the same interview twice, but we spoke about that you had a evidence-based methods for the sort of the programs that you were recommending that.
Our website, which is www.masonicrenewal.org, has a very extensive library of PDFs, videos, policies, programs that have proven effective in gaining Masonic membership throughout North America. Those resource materials are available to any Master Mason who registers for a website, and they're all available free of charge.
Excellent. So these are intended for lodge use or for Grand Lodge use or just?
Lodges, Grand Lodges, appendant bodies, concordant bodies. The methods that we have available will work for any sort of fraternal organization.
So are they available just open on the website, or do they have to register, or how does that work?
In order to access the library, that's in a firewall protected area, you have to sign up, and the way you sign up is to upload a copy of your dues card showing that you're a Mason in good standing. You put in your name and a password. That information will be reviewed by one of our staff, and if it's proven and shown that you are a Mason in good standing, they'll hit a button and you'll get right in that day or the next day.
Excellent. And David, you've looked at some of this stuff. I have not yet registered.
It was great. There's been some great pieces. I think I mentioned yesterday that one of my favorites was when Brent Morris had his part of the Engage conference. You also support the Engage conference deliver the Engage conference.
That's correct.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The Engage conference started 3 or 4 years ago, and what it is a Zoom broadcast that we do 3, 4, 5 times a year. We bring in speakers to talk within a 25-30 minute period of topics of interest to Freemasonry. And then we leave time at the end for questions and answers. Our Engage conferences have varied. We've had curators of fraternal exhibits talk about what they do to preserve histories. We had a past Grand Master of New Jersey, Most Worshipful Gregory B. Scott, who did a very powerful Engage session about how to access federal money under the community development grants for lodges to fix what they need in their buildings. Most Worshipful Scott was successful in getting over $100,000 in federal money for his temple in Bayonne, where they put a new roof on, resurfaced the parking lots, a new outside lighting, and that was all. There was no matching money from the lodge. It was $100,000 of community grants. And it's available to, it's a federal program. So it's easy to get to, fill out some forms. There's a review, and hopefully there will be a check in the mail.
That's amazing. I know of our state program that we have that's similar as a capital grant program, but I mm-hmm. never heard of a federal program. That's mm-hmm. very unique.
Mm-hmm. And all the Engage sessions are available in the library, the whole history of the Engage sessions.
Well,
so that's just a couple of examples.
Just by itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one we had was on Brent Morris when he talked about essentially the retention for men Masons that join appendant and concordant organizations quickly after becoming a Mason. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a little bit of bias because he represents the Scottish Rite, Southern Jurisdiction Scottish Rite. But he, in their analysis, it showed that those that join Scottish Rite or other appendant organizations tend to stay longer in Masonry. And then the next session was, I apologize, now past Grandmaster from one of the Midwest states, talking about their one-day class that they have. And in their analysis, the men that went through the one-day class actually were more sticky than those that mm-hmm. didn't go through the one-day class. So was it interesting? Again, maybe they... I kind of mentioned last time a joke that my grandfather used to say that figures lie and liars figure, but you know if the math works out, if the statistics work out, if that's the case, then it must be true.
Yeah.
So how do these? You said you essentially forward on successful programs that you've found. How do these programs come to your attention? How do you find them?
There are 62 jurisdictions that comprise the Conference of Grandmasters of North America. And we have established a network of representatives in 56 of those 62 jurisdictions. If something is successful, say, in Michigan or Minnesota or Ontario, that representative sends up the chain to the core committee, the executive committee, as you will, that information. And then we will take it and disseminate it back down and share that with all the other 56 representatives so that everyone in North America is aware of this is working here and maybe you could apply it, tweak it somehow to make a membership growth program in your jurisdiction.
And I think yesterday you were saying too that, what was your background before becoming a Mason or have you been a Mason? How long have you been a Mason, I guess?
I was raised in 1982.
Okay. Was that after your...
At the age of 4. You're looking at me like, how old is this guy?
Well, was that after your career? Had you retired at that point? Or
no. I was so I was working in a police department in New Jersey, Camden, New Jersey, and the great majority of my friends were all Freemasons, and I knew they were Freemasons, and I always wondered, like, what's wrong with me? Why aren't they asking me to join this group? Because we did everything else together. So eventually I found out what the proper procedure is, and from there I joined, and the lodge was mostly all made up of police officers.
You know, that statement, while just kind of slips by, is very significant in Masonry. I was, again, listening to that podcast. If you're listening again, meet Acton Park guys. Shout out to you guys. And the men from Wisconsin have a really neat program. And Victor was talking about how, you know, there's men that are expecting us to invite them. They're waiting for an invitation. That's the impression out there. And it's the opposite on Masonry. No, you have to ask. And so there's this chasm between asking and expecting. And without reaching out or making it more apparent,
right,
we're not going to bridge that gap.
Well, it does make us unique. And we have existed for how many hundreds of years doing it that way. I think that we don't want to compare ourselves to other fraternal organizations without mentioning anyone specifically, but we are unique and we are special. So there are some challenges of becoming a Freemason. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of memorization. There's a big vetting process. Everybody has to vote yes to let you into the lodge. But that has kept us at the quality that we've exhibited and the men we've brought in over the hundreds of years.
Yeah. Well, based on your Right Worshipful Senior Grand Warden, looks like New Jersey's in pretty good hands.
It is. I'm very excited about the elected line in New Jersey and what we have coming up in the future. It makes me feel good because I left New Jersey 12 years ago. We moved to Florida. It wasn't my choice. It was witness protection, so thank the feds for that. But
Berman is an alias. Yes.
Yes. But,
wait, the mic's not working again, though.
It does give me a sense of comfort that the Grand Lodge that I love so much and I haven't left behind, but I'm far away from physically, is in good hands.
He was saying that while his four-year term as Grand Marshal, there's a requirement to deliver the introductions for all of the contingent, including wives, with some 260 people from memory he had to introduce. That was at the Annual Communication or some event.
Yeah.
What an accomplishment.
It's not that tough. I was a past Grand Marshal. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Sounds beyond my capabilities.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, there's actually some YouTube videos out there. If somebody has 20 minutes and wants to watch a Grand Marshal of New Jersey do the introductions, it's pretty amazing how you can get up there and introduce 200, 250 people by memory. It's a skill that takes a while to acquire.
So this is obviously not... Oh, just kind of,
oh, I was just going to say that I could totally do it by memory as long as their name badges were written large.
Right.
So is this, being past Grand Master, this is obviously not your first conference?
Oh, no. No, I've been involved with this conference 20 years now, and I became an officer in the Masonic Renewal Committee in 2010.
Are all the officers of the committee past Grand Masters?
No. We have senior leadership from the Scottish Rite of Canadian jurisdiction, Northern Masonic jurisdiction, Southern jurisdiction. The Imperial Recorder of Shrine is on our core committee. The Deputy Grand Commander of Knights Templar Grand Encampment is on our core committee. So they're leaders of the craft without necessarily the title Most Worshipful.
I imagine that helps to get a lot of different perspectives on programs that might work for...
Absolutely. If you keep on walking down the same hallway, you won't keep on hitting your head against the same door. So it's good to expand your breadth of knowledge.
Have you been able to get into any of the sessions and listen to what's going on?
Yeah. Yes.
Is there anything striking that...
At the sessions, actually our breakout sessions have been very interesting. Most Worshipful Brother Gary Brindley, on behalf of the Masonic Renewal Committee, did a very interesting breakout session on a drip campaign. And we have three others that we're sponsoring. One is on the Renaissance of Freemasonry. Another that Jeff Bolstad from the Grand Comandry is presenting is on servant leadership. I gave a presentation to the Grand Secretaries yesterday about lodge security, how to protect the brethren in this day of anti-Freemasonry when there are physical attacks all over the world, including North America, up to and including a murder of a brother from Texas as he walked out of the lodge and he was shot strictly because he was a Freemason. So from my experience in law enforcement, I gave some suggestions to the Grand Secretaries to take back about the physical power plant of the lodge, how to, the lighting situations, motion detectors, doorbells, that type of thing. And then we talked somewhat about preserving the records, sharing passwords, because how often have we had a senior member of a lodge or a Masonic organization, a secretary, pass away and no one else has his password on his laptop? And then that's a job trying to get the records, and it's not backed up. That's another thing. You need to back up remotely. And then I went more deeply into situational awareness. Someone looks out of place outside the lodge. Why are you going to lodge in Florida? It's 75 degrees, 7 o'clock at night. And there's a man on the other side of the street in a hoodie with a bulky jacket. Those types of things. So it was very well received. There were some very good suggestions from the Grand Secretaries on things that I didn't talk about. And it was an energetic dialogue back and forth for a lot of information. Hopefully we'll come to some sort of mitigating strategies to preserve and to help with the physical safety of our brothers, because what is our greatest responsibility if it's not to care for the safeguard of our brethren?
And with that note, I hate to cut this short, but I know you said you had to be back in and have another engagement. So I want to thank you again for coming out to help us after our technical difficulties. And it was
my pleasure. Just don't hit the delete button again. I'm not coming back the third time.
Next time we'll have you tell some stories about your career. We understand those are pretty fascinating.
Can't do that. The statute of limitation hasn't completely run yet.
Thank you, most appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.